because here we are once again selling ourselves short, because the people that shared this program with me said, yeah, the groups use the traditions, and AA as a whole uses the traditions. But do you know there's as many in those traditions, there's as many principles in those traditions for you as an individual to live your life anytime you're dealing with more than one person as there are in the steps? Then all of a sudden, in my selfish, self-centered way, I'm a little more interested in the traditions, because before that, when I think they're just for the group and they have a traditions meeting, I'm the first one out of the door. But when I heard that the traditions might have something for me to learn from, to use in my life, when I'm dealing with at work or in a family, or anytime I'm dealing with more than one person because I have a little idea that maybe I'm supposed to get out of myself once in a while and deal with more than just me, that those traditions have guiding principles you can use in every area of your life. In a family, their common welfare comes first. Recovery in that family depends upon unity. For this family's purpose, there's but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. I mean, I've just started to experience those in my life and see how I can take them out into any area. And I would encourage you to do that. See how those traditions and those concepts can be used in your life. And maybe then, someday, you'll care enough about that they go on and work for Alcoholics Anonymous. And maybe one day you'll care enough about, you'll have a thought that if your son comes in here in 10 or 20 or 30 years, that you might like AA to be the way it was when you got here, and that that's what service is really about at those levels. Not changing AA. It's about stewardship. Stewardship, from what I've learned. A steward on a ship makes the room the same way each time, and he wants the next passenger to have it just as nice as the passenger before. He doesn't remodel the room every time a passenger leaves. See, I thought service was about going in there to the H&I committee or whatever it was I was doing and make all these renovations and make things better because I got a little better plan than what's going on. And I learned that service is about keeping things the way they are because they work. And I thought, what if my son came here in 10 or 20 years? Wouldn't I want the message to be here that I was given? Wouldn't I want AA to be like it was when I got here? You know, I could talk for hours about sponsorship, and I guess it's the same guiding principles as service. You just pray every time you sit down with whoever you're working with. I do seem to have found a way to eliminate a lot of the bullshit as it was done with me. My sponsor let me know that what he did was sit down with people and went through this book. And I knew that if I was to go on with Don, it was going to be serious business, and it wasn't going to be about calling him every day and dumping my problems on him and having him work on my life and help me with this or that. That we were going to meet in his living room once or twice a week, and we were going to go through these steps. Because he said he couldn't fix my life. And he said he didn't have a lot of answers. And he said if I called him with the same problem more than two or three times, that he wasn't going to listen to it because I wouldn't believe that there was what the solution was if I wasn't doing that, you know? And I find that I don't get calls from people who want to just use my name or just call me every day and have me make them feel better, because I don't see that as very loving. I think the most loving thing to do is to tell people the truth rather than everything is just dandy and wonderful. I used to think that was the most loving thing. And people know, because that's all I can do, because that's all that was done with me. We sit and we read this book and we go through the steps together. And I seem to get people that want to sit and go through this book and work those steps with somebody. And there have been exceptions, and it's not black and white. And there were people that I couldn't open the book for a couple months. And there were guys that couldn't read. There were guys that couldn't write. So I guess it's about prayer. What's the right thing to do? My experience with my sponsor, I could go on for an hour. I mean, he told me the day would come I wouldn't call him for answers. That I would have done enough of this work to find my own answers within. And then I would call him and we would talk about those answers I came up with. He tells a story about a sponsor and the person he's working. And I don't buy these words that I hear: pigeon, baby. You know, I don't. If my sponsor never introduced me as a pigeon or a baby in public to someone else, and he never called me that to my face, and he never referred to me as that to anyone else, so I don't, because that's the way I was taught. I have friends that I work with that are no different from me, are no lower than me, and they deserve a little more respect than to be called a pigeon or a baby. But he tells a story about a sponsor and the guy he's working with walking down a path in the jungle, and they come to a fork, and the guy he's working with says, "I'm going this way." And the sponsor says, "Well, I don't know. The last time I went down there, there was a 2,500-pound gorilla, and he beat the ever-loving shit out of me." And the guy he's working with says, "Well, I'm going to go down that way." And the sponsor says, "Well, I'm going to go this way." And the guy he's working with comes back a couple days later all beat up. And they walk down the path a little further together, and they come to another fork. And the guy he's working with says, "I'm going to go down this way." And the sponsor says, "Well, I think we better go this way, because last time I went down there, there was a 5,000-pound gorilla." And the guy he's working with decides to go down there, and he comes back a couple days later all beat up, and they finally walk on the path together. And the moral of the story is, if you tell someone there's a 5,000-pound gorilla down that path, and they go down there, and there's only a 10-pound chimpanzee, they're never going to listen to you again. Now, I had to think about that for a little while, because I was very sick and I didn't understand. I remember going to Don with incredible realizations. "I just realized this. I just learned this." He said, "Well, I've been waiting for you to see that." And I'd say, "Well, why didn't you tell me? You would have saved me a lot of pain and a lot of misery." And he'd say, "Because I love you more than that. I love you enough to allow you to have your own experience." Of course, we share our experience with the people we work with, but I think we serve them a great injustice to try to fix them every time they call and put little band-aids on their symptoms, because that's all it is. We deny them of their own experience in this program and in recovery and in life. And it's the hardest thing to do sometimes when you see somebody going way off track and you want to just save them, like you think you could, or stop him, you know, trying to stop an alcoholic from doing what he's going to do is, we should know that's futile anyway. To go through this process with somebody has been my own personal most rewarding experience, because I saw that I finally laid it out for one person, the whole deal. I was always the guy to take bits and pieces here, bits and pieces there. The way I felt after a fifth step, the way I felt when I started making amends, and he looked at my sponsor looked at me one day and he said, "You know, I feel like we're peers now and that we're friends." Or the first time he read a 10th step to me. Or the first time he let me drive his RV with his family in the back. I mean, I thought, my God, this guy really actually trusts me. And from where I come from, those are absolute miracles. And I think every time I get involved in the 12th step, it takes me all the way back to the first step, because I see that I'm powerless and I can't keep them sober and I can't get them drunk and I can't fix them. And then I'm at the second step because I better believe that there's a power that can do something here. And I make a decision to let that happen, and I say a prayer and we get on with it. There's a word that has been important to me since I took the third step, and they reminded me about the chicken and the pig. And we don't hear this word talked about a lot in AA. It's commitment. Commitment. People shriek, shirk, or whatever you call it, tremble, when you hear that word talked about as a topic in a relationship.
Willie Lane, you have a telephone call.
You know, commitment. Am I really committed to this program? I have to ask myself that on a regular basis. When I've gotten way off track with service, it's because I didn't remember that it was to save my ass. I thought I was going to be saving some people or changing or making things better. To get into the traditions and to start to learn about the concepts, it just gives me an added incentive to go on. You know, there's enough there for a lifetime. to get into the AA service manual. I mean, there's unlimited things to get involved in this program. I was asked, and I'd like to talk just a little bit about the step workshops. I think it was 1970 or 1975, they had the International in Denver, Colorado, and a man from Canada came down there named Max Jeter and talked about a group of men up in Canada who couldn't stay sober, and they all wanted Max to be his sponsor. And he said he couldn't sponsor them all, but he knew what they could do, and they could pick a time when no one else would come, and they could sit down and they could work the steps together as a group. And they called them the Golden Slippers. And they met every Sunday morning at 7 or 8 in the morning. People that were serious about recovery came, and they sat as a group and worked the steps. And they found these men staying sober, and those workshops caught on like wildfire in Denver. And my sponsor tells me they're catching on all over the country. I know there's a lot of people in Dallas doing them, with 16-week outlines and 28-week outlines, and people getting excited about the big book all over the country. And I'd been in two of those in Denver, and they'd put a sign-up sheet on the club, so-and-so's doing a step workshop, all interested, please sign up, and they get 20 people, and they close it. So they don't call themselves an AA group, and they don't call themselves an AA meeting. So they're not violating the traditions. They call themselves a closed step workshop. And it's usually about 20 or 25 people. Sometimes it's all men. Sometimes it's all women. Sometimes it's co-ed. And though they found people in Denver who could never stay sober getting involved in these workshops and staying sober. And both of my experiences as a participant were incredible. And my home group that I was a member of for 4 years evolved into an idea, could we do that same format as a meeting where any alcoholic can come regardless of where we are, and it became a regular closed meeting in Denver. But we use the same format. We go through the book, we pause, we stop, we do everything it says together as a group. And that was a very rewarding experience to be a member of that group. And when I moved out here, several people were interested in this that knew me, and we started one. And unfortunately, I told them about group conscience, and they don't let me run it. And I'm not their fearless leader or the guru or the teacher, and they call me on my stuff too. And we merely sit down, 18 of us, and we go through that book and we do what it says together as a group. And we call ourselves the Big Book Workshop by the Sea, the Tuesday night Big Book Workshop by the Sea. And there's more than one requirement to be a member, so we don't list ourselves, and we don't call ourselves an AA meeting or an AA group. Because there's two requirements. You have to have a desire to stop drinking, and you have to have a commitment to go through the steps with 18 or 20 other people and show up as much as possible. Here's the amazing thing. We started last December, 1986, with 24 people. The second week, the first week was business, and we decided to format and secretary and treasurer and a food person and we even have a greeter at the door who hands out parking permits. The next week we had 22. The next week we had 20. The fourth week we had 18. And since the end of December, we've had 18 people for the last 8 months. We've had 18 people. That's amazing to me. The people in Denver that had done a lot more of these than I had said, if you start with 20, you'll be lucky to end up with 10 or 12. We have 18. We've been since the end of December, or the middle of December, on the first five steps. It's now August 14th, and we are all finishing up our fifth steps. It takes a real commitment, and it's an incredible experience, and the bond that happens between the people in that group is incredible. It's like family. I'd like to read just a little bit of our format to give you an idea of what we do. We have a written format, and we have a different reader each week. They, you know, good evening, and introduce themselves, welcome, serenity prayer, introduce ourselves. We read the foreword to the first edition, that first, We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered. blah, 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 blah. Many do not comprehend that the alcoholic is a very sick person, and besides, we are sure that our way of living has its advantages for all. Our purpose. It is the purpose of the workshop to experience the recovery process as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, either for the first time or again, so we may better carry out and understand our primary purpose, to stay sober and carry the message to the still suffering alcoholic. We do as the Big Book suggests as a group in a 1.5 hour meeting followed by a 15-minute group conscience. We have a different reader each week whose responsibility it is to keep us on track with what is being read. The reader will pause at each paragraph for comments, questions, problems, or experience with what was just read. We are here to talk about recovery only and go through the 12-step process as outlined in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. This is not an emotional or an intellectual exercise. This is a spiritual exercise so we can all recover and experience the recovery process as we read it together. Crosstalk is allowed in a loving, supportive manner. Please try to keep your crosstalk experience to your experience only with your questions or comments. We also have a regular Tuesday night beginners workshop at 6:30 for all members of this workshop to discuss questions or problems pertaining to where they are in the work. Reader begins reading. You pause at the end of each paragraph. Anything anybody wants to say, we get to a question, and we use a lot of the statements through the book as questions. We consider those questions as a group. Do we now all believe this? Do we believe this? Do we believe this? We get to a prayer, we do it together as a group. We get to a direction, we stop and do that as a group, and we don't go any further until it's done. At 8:50, the reader asks if anyone has anything they'd like to share the last 10 minutes. Past the basket. At 9 o'clock, we have a 15-minute group conscience. We learn about an ongoing group conscience. We learn that last week's group conscience can change. We learn that a group's conscience changes, and it's not written in stone, and that an ongoing informed group conscience is the spirit of a group, and everybody stays for the group conscience. So we get a conscience of that group. I always thought it was funny to have a group of 50 or 100 people and they call a group conscience and you got 5 or 10 people at the group conscience. You're not getting a conscience of that group, you're getting a conscience of the people that stayed after the meeting. And to learn about group conscience and watch it happen is absolutely unbelievable. Somebody makes a motion, we vote after discussion, pro and con, we vote, and everyone in the room votes for it except one person. So we hear from that one person, the minority opinion, and what he says changes the whole vote back around, and you watch absolute miracles in group conscience. We then close the meeting with a meditation. Different person does meditation each week from the book, and close with the Lord's Prayer. We've broken the book up into sections. We take each section one at a time. We've broken it into 14 sections. And we pause at the end of each section and review what we've covered. You know, that might take an hour and it might take one meeting. The first section is from the title page to the doctor's opinion, up to the doctor's opinion. We spent 2 weeks on that. The second section was from the doctor's opinion up to page 23, step one, the body. We spent 4 weeks and 1 week in review. Approximately. Section 3, we went from page 23 to page 43, up to the end of chapter 3, to look at step 1, the mind. Section 4 was page 44 to page 57, up to chapter 5, step 2. Section 5 was from page 58 to page 64, up to the instructions for the fourth step. That was step 3. Section 6 was from page 64 to page 67, up to the instructions for the fear inventory. That was step 4, resentment. Section 7 was from page 67 to 68, up to the instructions for the sex inventory. That was step 4, fear. Section 8 went from page 68 to page 71 to the end of chapter 5, and that was the inventory on the sex inventory and the summary about the fourth step. Section 9 will be from page 72 to 76, up to step 6. That'll be step 5. Section 10, from page 76 up to the instructions for step 8. That'll be step 6 and 7. Section 11 was from page 76 to 84, up to step 10. That'll be step 8 and 9. Section 12 will be from 84 to 88, up to the end of into action. That'll be step 10 and 11. And section 13 will be page 89 to 103, up to the end of working with others. That's step 12. And then our last section will be from 151 to 164, revision for you, review what we've done, and decide what we want to do next. For me, the workshop's been an incredible experience. Doing these tapes has been an honor and a privilege. It's kept me sober. And